Friends, would you please stand as you are able and join us in our call to worship? God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. God rejoices over Jerusalem and takes delight in God's people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Before we call out, God will answer. While we are still speaking, God will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. They will neither harm nor destroy on all God's holy mountain. We will worship the one who makes all things new. Would you join me in prayer? There is no place to turn, O God, for the comfort we desire. No place but you alone, O Lord. Bless us this day that we might be a blessing to others. Bless us this day that we might be faithful witnesses to life in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord. In our songs and prayers, in our scriptures and spoken words, reveal your purpose through the power of your Holy Spirit. We are here, O Lord. Equip us for ministry with the faith and assurance only you can provide. Amen and amen. Friends, we invite you to continue standing as we sing our opening hymn, Hymn of Promise, which can be found on 707, verses 1 through 3. Friends, you may be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can be gathered here, that we can celebrate your meal and a baptism, that time and seasons continue to change, that there are birthdays and anniversaries, that there are moments where we remember and are filled with joy. God, give strength to those who are undergoing surgery. Lord, give them peace, give them comfort, give wisdom to the doctors and the nurses. Lord, may your protection be upon them, and may they come out the other side. And Lord, we pray for those who have already undergone procedures and are still healing. Lord, may your healing continue, and may it be swift. May they be comfortable. May they know they're not alone. And Lord, we pray for the families of all those who are sick, who are going under surgery, who need recovery and rest. Lord, bless their families as well, that they might not have worries. Almighty God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we are grateful to be here so that we might know that you are God. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so with the confidence of those who have been redeemed by Christ, we invite you now to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. I think we've got some kids in here, and friends, if you want to come up for kids' time, now's a good time to do that.
First try, you guys. All right, what do I have here?
Ornament.
It's an ornament. What's an ornament of?
Red bird.
It's a red bird. So this is called a cardinal. You guys will find out that cardinals are my favorite. They're your favorite too? Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, we have a lot of cardinal fans up here. All right, so you do not know my code. So I have a Bible verse on my phone. I'm going to read it to you guys. So, it's from John chapter 14, verse 27. It's, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You guys, that one's kind of a, it's kind of a confusing one, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, so God is giving us peace, but not as the world gives to us. So, when you guys hear peace, what do you guys think of? Like no fighting and stuff like that? Yeah. Quiet. That's a good one. That's a good one. Calm. These are good. We like all these things, right? They're good, right? All right. How many of you guys have ever been super nervous about something? I have. How many of you guys have ever been scared of something? I have. All right. So there's this other kind of peace, where if you're super scared or you're super nervous, God can help you not feel that way anymore. Isn't that kind of cool? So, I bet you guys are wondering where my ornament comes into play with this. So, cardinals to me have always been a sign from God to feel calm and to feel peace. Do you guys know that God sends signs like that to everybody? He does. I know. That's pretty wild. There's a lot of people here, right? So look at how many people there are. There's a lot of us, right? Like 200 of us? Do you hear that? There's 200 people here. 100. Okay, we went down to 100. That's a good number. We're going to stick at 100. So if God is sending signs to every single person to give them peace, he's a busy guy, right? But he does it. He does it to the whole town, you're right. That's pretty cool. So my challenge to you all is to find your own little symbol. Look for how God is giving you guys peace and is showing you guys that he's there for you. Because it makes you feel better. Promise. All right, should we pray? All right. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thanks so much for bringing us here today and showing us that you care. Amen.
We have a baptism, don't we? Come on up. Come on up. Friends, I would like to present to you Margaret. Oh, I got to speak into the mic. Probably should turn my mic on too. Margaret Rose Olson. Friends, baptism is a time where we remember not only that the family of God continues to grow, but that God is good. And God's grace surrounds us even before we are aware of what is going on. So friends, I'd like to welcome this family in as we go through our baptism today. You ready, Margaret? Okay. Make sure you cry really, really loudly, okay? Let's go. So, Adam, Kristen, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world? Repent of your sin. If so, would you say, I do? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, would you say, I do?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, would you say, I do?
I do.
And will you raise Margaret in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, that she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, would you say, we will. None of you are off the hook either. You know that, right? Friends, baptism is not just a commitment we make between God or we make on behalf of our children. It's a commitment that we as the church, the body of Christ, make with each other. So, will you nurture Margaret and one another in the Christian faith and life and include her now before you in your care? With God's help, will you proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ? Will you surround her with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others? Will you pray for her? That she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. If so, would you say, we will? Hear that, Margaret?
Yeah.
Then, friends, let us pray. The Lord be with you. Friends, this water is an outward symbol of an inward grace, that by baptism we are renewed, that we are called, that we are given grace upon grace, that our sins are washed away, that we are welcomed and received into the family of God. Just as Moses walked through the waters with the Israelites, was liberated and redeemed, just as Jesus was baptized and washed feet, and just as we all have been washed, both body and soul. Friends, I invite you now to bless this water with us, that we might remember our baptism and be glad. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, bless this water, this simple gift, that it may remind us of our grace that we have received from you, that it may bless Margaret, that it may bless us all, so that your Spirit may abide within us, that we may be cool water to drink for those in our world, and that Margaret may also grow up to be a shining example of grace and love and hope. God bless this water that we may remember. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea, do you?
Margaret, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. Amen.
Can we lay hands and bless her?
Margaret, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God smile upon you and give you peace. May you grow. May you learn. May you become who you've been called to be. Now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Friends, I'd like to welcome a new member of the family of Christ, Margaret Olson.
You did good.
Thanks, friends.
Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now our hymn of preparation, Baptized in Water, from the Black Hymnal, The Faith We Sing, number 2248, verses 1 through 3. Please stand as you're able.
Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. This is the gospel, according to Luke. Jesus said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And what should I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he asked, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, "Amen." All right, so how many of you decided to try your hand at baking during the pandemic? A few people. How'd it go? Pretty good, right? I'm not a baker. Did you know that? As soon as we get precise measurements, it all goes, well, probably outside of the pot, right? I am not a baker, but what I am able to do is I can do math. And so the scripture in here, do you know how much bread they're talking about? They're talking about 60 loaves of bread. How many of you can eat 1 loaf of bread in a sitting? I know, probably not good for you, right? But maybe some of the younger folks in our congregation. 60 loaves of bread. Do you know how much flour you need for about 60 loaves of bread? A lot. Maybe about 200 cups or so. And for visual, how many of you have a 12-quart pot at home? They're about what? This big? Does that sound about right? My gumbo pot is about this big. And you would need to fill 2 gumbo pots with flour if you were going to make 60 loaves of bread. Now, what's amazing about that is how much yeast you need to leaven this bread. Do you know how much you need? How many of you have ever seen a mason jar before? You know what a mason jar looks like, right? That's something that you can conceptualize. If you fill that with half way of yeast, that's all the yeast you need to make 2 gumbo pots worth of bread. But the scriptures go on. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? Is that what it is? A mustard seed? How many of you have ever seen one of those? Tiny, 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 tiny little things. But I haven't ever seen a mustard tree or bush or whatever we want to call it. So I did some digging. You know, there's a native plant here that actually probably gets us a little bit closer to a concept, able to visualize what Christ is talking about here. How many of you have ever seen a cottonwood tree? A cottonwood tree. There's a beautiful cottonwood tree just down the hill from my house. You can see the leaves dancing in the wind. In the fall, it's really great because these beautiful red vines with leaves grow up the side of it. It's just gorgeous. Do you know how big a cottonwood seed is? If you have a credit card and you want to take it out, it's about as thin as a credit card is. Tiny. Tiny little seeds. Do you know how large cottonwoods grow? How tall is our bell tower, do you think? Go ahead, shout it out. How tall is our bell tower, do you think? Not the dome, but the tower on the outside. 80 feet? A cottonwood tree might grow to be taller than this church. I want you to sit with that a little bit. From a seed the size of a credit card, as thin as a credit card is, a cottonwood tree grows taller than our church is. The kingdom of God
is a cottonwood tree. Do you trust it? Do you believe it? Does that make sense? Sometimes it's easy to nod our heads with stuff like that, right? It's easy to say, yes, of course. God can do whatever God wants. God made all of creation. It's fine. God's got this. But when times are tough, when they're difficult, when they're uncertain, what is the kingdom of God like? Cottonwood tree, or is it more like one of those gnarled old evergreen bushes that you find sometimes? See, that's the tension, right? Isn't it? That's the problem that we find sometimes as people, isn't it? We've got these beautiful stories about everything that God has done and God will do and God can do, and yet, how many of you are made of flesh and blood? All of us, right? But I take it to mean that means we're all human, that there are times where we lay awake at night and we wonder, what is happening in my life, in this world? What is going on, and how am I going to get through it? When we baptize children, when we have children, those thoughts go through our heads as well. One of my dear friends from college, his daughter is about 2 now, and I gotta tell you, it's been fun seeing the realization slowly dawn over him that, oh my gosh, I'm a parent now for the rest of my life. Amen? And gray hairs, where do they come from? Worrying about your kids. Amen? Amen. Even if we don't have kids, I'm sure we can think back to those long nights in school where we had a paper to get done. Or those crushes that we had trying to figure out, does he or doesn't he, or does she or doesn't she like me? I'm sure we can point to various and many places where our hearts, it's not been well with them. But the question for us here today is, will God do what God promises? Is the kingdom of God enough? Will there be enough? That's a hard ask to trust. Do you remember the first relationship you were in? Speaking of does she or doesn't she, does he or doesn't he, right? Do you remember how terrifying it was to ask that first time? Do you remember how your heart just fluttered a little bit? And you weren't quite sure if this was a good idea or a bad idea? Because what if they say no? What if they say no? See, in many ways, this is what life is about. This is what our journey of faith is. What happens if we pray to God and all of a sudden we're unsure? All of a sudden, we're not quite sure if that prayer was the right prayer or the right words to say, or if our hearts were in the right place, or any of that. What happens if God doesn't show up? It was the Israelites on their way out of Egypt. They were in the desert. They were in the desert, they were wandering around, and would you believe it, they were complaining. They were complaining about who? Who was leading them through the desert? Moses, right? Boy, we love leaders that will lead, but man, we almost love complaining about them just as much. Amen? Amen. They're wandering through the desert and their stomachs are empty and their lips are parched and they're looking for a little bit of hope. They're looking for a little bit of hope and they turn to Moses and they say, "Why did you lead us out here to begin with? Just to die? Just to die of thirst and of hunger?" In other places, because this is a common reoccurring theme, in other places they say, "We should have just stayed in Egypt. At least there we had our gruel and it wasn't meat, but it was something." And Moses turns to God and says, "Lord, they're about to kill me. They're that fed up. They're about to stone me to death. What do you want me to do?" Our lives are like this. We get to the point where we look and we say, "God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to get through this? Life is crazy. It's uncertain. I don't know if there's going to be enough money in the bank, but how do you want me to proceed?" And God said, "What? Take your staff and hit that rock. Because what will come out of them? More than enough. More than enough water. More than enough grace. More than enough hope." And that's the difficult thing as we find ourselves in this season here today. Asking ourselves, will God provide? Not only for me, not only for our children, but for our communities, will God be able to provide? The answer, friends, is what? Uh-oh, right? The answer is yes, but with fear and trembling it leaves our lips. Because sometimes our hearts, it's like the person in the Gospels, "Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief." Sometimes it's hard to have that faith and that trust that everything will be well. And yet time and time again, God is telling us over and over, "It will be well. There will be enough. I will provide. All will be well." But I know, I've been there. These words are hollow sometimes when you're really in a tight spot, aren't they? But I think that's the interesting thing that I've found throughout my life is that oftentimes I'm not looking for a fix. Or maybe I am. Maybe I am looking for an issue to be resolved that I just can't resolve. But I think deep down, more often than not, and I've seen it with other people, it's not just me, more often than not, we just want to know that someone hears us, that there is hope, that it will be okay. Friends, look around you now. I know, go ahead, do it. Look around you now. Stop paying attention to me. Look around you now. God has blessed us with each and every one of these people. God has blessed us with you. And oftentimes, the simplest and most effective thing we can do for each other is to encourage one another, is to listen to each other's worries and remind one another that God is what? Good and faithful. And will do what? Provide. Because if you're on this planet long enough, I'm sure you can point to many different examples of that. Where there has been enough. Where you have gotten through. Where God did provide. Whether that's money or time or energy or just emotional stamina or whatever you needed, God provided. And I'll leave that work up to you to remember those times. But hear me, encouraging you now, here. God will provide. You can trust that. Do not despair, but have hope. Not only for us, but for our children too. May your trust be in the Lord, because the Lord is good and faithful. Amen. Amen.
Friends, this is my favorite part. Well, I guess it's not the first Sunday of the month, is it? You've all been gracious. But this is one of my favorite parts of church, is to share a meal with all of you and remember that we are all invited to this table, no matter who we are, no matter where we've come from, that God loves us. Friends, this is not my table. It's not the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of the risen Christ. And all are welcome here to partake of this grace and love. Friends, if you don't feel like you can come forward for whatever reason, that's fine. If you want a blessing, though, come with your arms crossed and we'll give you a blessing, because you are welcome here as well. And if you leave without knowing that God loves you, then we've done something wrong. If you're not comfortable coming forward because you know kids are little germ magnets, we have some cups in the back that you are welcome to take as well, because we know that it's been an interesting couple years, hasn't it? But friends, you are welcome at this table. You are welcome here, because not only does God love you, but so does the church. Amen? Amen. Friends, we're going to have the communion liturgy up on the screens. If you'd like to follow along, it's also in your bulletin. But the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks because it was you who brought everything into being. It was you who made us out of dirt and mud and breathed life into us. It was you who walked with us those many miles through deserts, through cities, through wars, through uncertain times. And it was you who gave us Christ, Jesus, your Son. Lord, we give you thanks for his life, his teaching, his love, for his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. God, we give you thanks and we give you praise now and forevermore. And so, with all of those who have gone before us, all of those who will come after us, and all of us gathered here, both near and far, we lift our voices and praise your name, joining them in the unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Friends, on the night Christ offered himself up for us, he was sharing a meal with his disciples. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And giving it to each of those gathered there, he said, Take this and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you can in my memory. And in the same way, after the meal had ended, he took the cup and he filled it with the fruit of the vine and said, Take this and drink. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory. And so, friends, in memory of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, as a holy and living sacrifice together with Christ, I invite you to proclaim with us the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Friends, would you pray with me and bless each of us and these elements in here? Almighty God, we give you thanks. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and cup, that they might be for us your body and blood, that we might be your body, redeemed by your blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until you come again in grace and in glory. Through the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people said, Amen. And so let us pray again the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and every single person alive is welcome here. The table is set. Come, be blessed.
Friends, God's mercy goes before you and behind you and beside you. God loves you unconditionally. And all the people said, amen and amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our closing hymn, Joy in the Morning. It's in the Thin Black Hymnal, The Faith We Sing, number 2284, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to play it all the way through because I'm not sure if we know it. So stand as you're able and join us in our closing hymn. May the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God lift up God's face upon you and give you peace. Friends, go now and trust the Lord. All will be well. There will be enough. Do not fear. Do not despair. God is with you. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Friends, go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Our service has ended. But if you'd like to stay and rejoice with us, feel free to do so.
This won't take too long. Alec and Addison, would you mind coming up? For those that don't know, our youth program coordinator, Addison and Alec, they got married back on October 8th. And we don't use the word sneaky very often, but we were real sneaky, and we put together a donation love gift for the new couple, and we've been holding on to it until today. And we had a baptism. We've got this gift. We've got a reindeer in the back for the kids. This is literally an extravaganza in November. So please join Marsh and I. We're the only two here today from the SPRC in thanking Addison and Alec for joining our family. We appreciate you very much.
Okay. Now go and rest and enjoy your Sabbath. Now our service has ended. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I know.